Thank you, preacher. It's a joy to be back here tonight, amen. And it's also an added joy and blessing to be able to get a few days away with just me and my wife. This is the first time, the best of our knowledge, we were trying to figure it out. It's the first time in 15 years we've gotten away for more than just one day without any children with us. And so it's a blessing. They're a blessing to us. James, it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't recognize him anyway. James just turned 14 November, and he was here with us for Brother Dave and Miss Tracy's wedding. But he went to the doctor here recently, and he is now 6'3" and weighs 225 pounds. He's a grown man, amen. And I mean the size of a grown man. But it is a joy to be here with my wife, and I told Miss Herring and some of the ladies that I brought her for my labor, amen. And They corrected me. They said, "You brought her to keep you straight." Amen. And Lord's been good to us and blessing in the church mightily. And turn your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 1. And I'll share a little bit about what Lord's doing as I preach. God's just been good. There's nothing special about me. Something tremendously wonderfully special about the great God that we serve. Amen. And praise the Lord to be able to be used by Him. Philippians chapter number 1. And love to fellowship with you some more after church and through the week. So good to see so many of you. Folks that have become like family to us and close friends. We appreciate what you're doing here. Appreciate Pastor Carter's anniversary coming up, and then also Brother Stephen, what Lord's doing with him, and praise the Lord for that. Turn with me, Philippians chapter number 1. We'll begin reading verse number 8 for the sake of time. I'm going to hurry, but I do have some things I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. I'd like to try to challenge you tonight and encourage you. Philippians chapter 1, look at me, verse number 8 is where we'll begin reading. The Bible says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." For the sake of time, we could read a lot more, but I want to stop right there, and I want to take you back. Look back with me at verse number 1 just for a moment, and I want us to realize who it is that the Apostle Paul is writing to. We understand that this is the Holy Spirit. He's given this to us through the Apostle Paul, but it's inspired by God. But I want you to notice verse number 1. The Bible tells us that it's written to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. I want you to realize that he's writing to the saints, amen. He's writing to not just those at Philippi, but tonight he's God is writing to you and I. He's speaking to you and I tonight, and there's some things that I believe the Lord's laid on my heart that I believe would be good if every one of us got a hold of, and it would sink down into our heart. Now, no doubt about it, as you read through the Pauline epistles, it don't take you long to read to find out that the Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. He was a man that walked with God and a man who knew God and had a tremendous testimony, but throughout all of his writings, as God used him, he was always in prayer for the work of God, for the saints of God, for the lost of the world to be saved, so no doubt he was a man of prayer. And here we know that he's writing to the saints, and he's speaking not just to those at Philippi, but to you and I. And here in these verses, there's four things I'll just say real quickly by way of introduction. There's four specific areas that the Apostle Paul is writing to the people there at Philippi, and the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us about. Number one, he desires that their love abound more and more. Tonight, I believe with all my heart that that's God's desire for our hearts, that our love abound more and more. It seems like as independent fundamental Baptists, it seems like we're growing colder and colder and less affectionate towards one another and toward the lost world all around us. Amen. But it's God's desire that our love abound more and more. Secondly, he wants them to approve things that are excellent. Can I tell you, that's what we ought to do, amen. We ought not just settle for good. We ought not just settle for, well, that's good enough. But listen, everything that we do when we're saved, we ought to do it to the glory of God, amen. We ought to always strive to be all we can be and to be the best we can be. And I praise the Lord for that old song we sang as children. He's still working on me, amen. I still can be better. I haven't arrived, you haven't arrived, but we ought to prove those things, and I want you to notice that are excellent, amen. Number three, he desires them to serve God with sincerity. I believe that's something that's lacking amongst us independent Baptists today, and that is serving God with sincerity of heart. I think that today, in the day that we live, we see a lot of great churches and a lot of great preachers, but I'm afraid that we're seeing too many Christians that are getting in good churches, and instead of serving God with all sincerity, they start serving the pastor, and they start serving the man, and they start serving for man's applause and so that man will notice. And listen, I believe we were just talking with some folks the other day about this. I believe there ought to be some loyalty to your pastor. Dr. Carter, I praise the Lord for him, and I believe that I want to be loyal to him. But listen, Dr. Carter is not the man I serve. He's not the man who saved me. He's not the man who called me. Praise God, he's the man that God put in my life to train me, to encourage me. But listen, he's not the Lord. I ought to serve not because of Dr. Carter, but I ought to serve because of the God who saved me. You ought not just be serving because of Dr. Carter. You ought to be serving because Jesus, who died to pay for your sins. Amen. Fourthly, that's not the message, but fourthly, he wanted them to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's something else. Each one of these points would preach, amen. But listen, fruits of righteousness, that's something missing amongst Christianity today too, amen. A bunch of unholy, ungodly living amongst so-called Christians. There's nothing Christ-like about living an unrighteous, unholy life. But those are the things that the Apostle Paul, we know that he's burdened there for the people at Philippi. We know that he loves them and he cares about them. But can I tell you, there's one that loves us and cares more for us than the Apostle Paul did for these people here at Philippi. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who loves you and I, who gave himself for you and I. And as you read through the Pauline epistles and you read about Paul's day, no doubt about it, I'm going to say something. You may agree, you may not agree. But listen, I believe that Paul lived in a day that was much like our day. What do you mean, preacher? I believe Paul's day was a wicked day. I believe that Paul's day was a day filled with sinfulness. I believe that Paul's day was a day filled with a bunch of carnal Christians. You really think that? Read the book of Corinthians. Amen. Paul's day was a day of filled with wickedness, and I believe that our day is just like Paul's day. Oh, but preacher, we're seeing things that nobody's ever seen before. Well, can I remind you that in God's eyes, sin is sin. Wickedness is wickedness. There's no such thing as good sin and bad sin. All sin is wicked, and it's terrible. Amen. And so we're living a day much like Paul's day. And I'll say this, I believe Paul lived in a day that was filled with ungodliness. I believe, listen, you just read the newspaper, turn on the television. We're living in an ungodly day. And so tonight I want to preach to you just for a little while. I'm going to skip over a bunch of things because there's some things I believe the Lord had me to say tonight, try to be a help to you and an encouragement to you. Listen, I believe that today, as Christians, you and I, we are living in a godless society. I mean, the world is trying to remove God from our society. The world's trying to, listen, there's even churches that are removing God from the church. God help us, amen. Removing the blood of Jesus, removing the deity of Jesus, and so on and so forth. And so for a little while tonight, I've got about 10, 15 minutes. I want to challenge you and I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, God's People in a Godless World. God's people in a godless world. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for the time you've given us together here. We thank you for the good music we've heard, the good singing. And Father, how we praise you. God, how I rejoice that I can go in, Lord, not because anything I've done, not because of my works of righteousness, but because of what you've done on my behalf. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, dear God, that it's not up to us, but you've taken care of salvation for us, dear God. And Lord, how we rejoice. And God, we rejoice over what is taking place this weekend, dear God, and all the labor that's going in, the visiting, the soul winning, the physical work, dear God. We just pray that you'd bless in a mighty way. I pray that you'd hold back the clouds of rain, dear God, from Sunday. Lord, I pray that you just bless with a beautiful day. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the preacher as he stands in the pulpit, that you'd fill him with your power. As there'll be many lost people here, many visitors, I pray, dear God, there'd just be multitudes of souls that walk the aisle and get saved. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with the buses, just be with the Sunday school teachers, just everybody that'll have their part in it, Lord. I pray that it'll all be done for your honor and your glory, dear God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you just for a moment, a few minutes, on the subject of God's people in a godless world. That's what we're living in, is in a godless world. It's a privilege to be associated with a church like this. It's a privilege to be associated not just with Dr. Carter and Brother Stephen, but with so many of you Christians that have been here and been laboring right along beside Pastor Carter for most of the time he's been here. And for the other ones that have come in along the way, and you've got up beside them and you've labored and you've helped. But listen, I want to tell you, it's not time to slow down. Pastor Carter and I were talking yesterday about the congregation, about how folks are growing old, and that's no secret, amen, and how people are getting worn out and people are getting tired. But I want to challenge you tonight. Listen, as long as you have breath and as long as the Lord Jesus tarries his coming, we ought to just keep our hand to the plow and keep on working, amen. I want to share with you, if we're going to do anything for God in this godless society, there's a few things that we've got to do. Number one, I want us to notice that we need to live a more consecrated life. We need to live a consecrated life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, to be consecrated means to be set apart. Now, we know from the scriptures, the Bible tells us that, listen, we're bought with a price. The Bible tells us that we're to live separated lives. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus saved us, that he separated us, amen. And praise God for that. But listen, we ought to live separated lives, and we also must be dedicated and devoted to the service of the Lord. That's what we need more of. We need some more folks that will just be dedicated and devoted to the service of the Lord. Amen. I'm afraid that we have too many people that are dedicated to the man instead of people that are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need people devoted to Jesus. Amen. Listen, Pastor Stephen, I thank God for him, and I pray for him, and I hope that I can be an encouragement to him. I know I'm just a young man and he's got a ton of things to worry about, but can I tell you this? Dr. Carter and Brother Stephen, they don't need you comparing the two of them. They don't need us sitting back and talking about, well, he does it this way and he does it that way, and well, you know, as long as Pastor Carter's here, we'll just keep on doing it that way. But if God help us, if something happens to preacher, you know, we don't know if we'll go this way or that way. Well, can I tell you, church, it's time, amen, that you become, listen, consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you determine tonight that what you do, you're not going to do because of this man or that man, but you're going to do it for God, amen, for the one who saved you. Listen, if you look enough, I'm here to tell you, you're going to find faults with any man that stands behind this pulpit. You're going to find faults with every leader that's within the church if you look hard enough. But listen, it's time we just band together for the Lord Jesus Christ and become consecrated for the Lord and start doing the work that he saved us and called us to do. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God says, listen, I want you to be a living sacrifice, amen. He's not asking us to die for him. He's just asking us to live for him. We ought to devote our lives to serve God and to live for God with every breath that he gives us, amen. And church, can I tell you, I know many of you know this, but in case there's someone here visiting, maybe there's a lost person or a visitor here, can I tell you, having your role on a great church like Landmark Baptist Church don't make you a good Christian, amen. Hey, having your name here at Landmark don't even mean that you're on your way to heaven, amen. But listen, the only way you're on your way to heaven is if your name is on the roll in heaven, amen. Hey, if your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I'm here to tell you, hey, I count it a great privilege and an honor to be associated with this great church and with these great people. But can I tell you, just my association don't make me a devoted Christian, amen. It don't make me a consecrated Christian, amen. But listen, I must determine in my heart, and you must determine in your heart, that you're going to be consecrated for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think about Peter and John there in Acts chapter number 4. They were consecrated, amen. Well, preacher, how do you know that? Because of their testimony. They didn't tell us they were consecrated, but we have the testimony and witness of others that they were consecrated. What do you mean, preacher? Well, you go to Acts chapter chapter number 4 when the religious leaders came to him and had him arrested, because in Acts chapter number 3, God used him. Amen. Hey, the lame man was healed and on their way to the temple to pray, and he jumped up rejoicing with them. Amen. And by the way, I like the way that Peter said, hey, man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Amen. That's what the lost world needs. They don't need money and a hand up. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need us to share the Lord with them. That's what they need. Amen. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, I don't have time to look, you check it out, but in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that they took notice that they'd been with Jesus. Now, can I tell you, that didn't happen by accident. They didn't take notice they'd been with Jesus because Peter and John woke up out of bed and put their sandals on and decided, I think I'll live for the Lord today. I think I'll get out of my sin I've been in, and I'll go down to the temple, and I'll look the part and dress the part. There's a lot of Christians that do that, but can I tell you, the world's not a bunch of idiots. They're smart enough to see a fake and a phony when they see one, but they saw Peter and John, and they said, this is the real deal. They took notice they'd been with Christ. Why is that? Because they were consecrated. They were devoted to serving him. Amen. They were dedicated to the one who saved them. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Church, it's time we start living like we've been made new. There's too many Christians that walk in the church house on Sunday and Wednesday and look and dress the part differently than they act on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Amen. If you're a new creature, amen, you didn't do nothing to get new, but it's God who did something in you, amen, that made you new. When a person gets saved, there's a change that takes place. 2 Peter 3:18 talks about when a person gets in Christ, amen, the result is there's some growing that takes place. And there in 2 Peter, it refers to growing in grace. Can I tell you, every born-again believer ought to be growing. You ought not just be sitting here stagnant. You ought not just be going to Sunday school just so the preacher sees you and Miss Sonia sees you and she writes your name down that you've been here and so that this one knows you've been here. But you ought to be in Sunday school because that's how you're going to grow in grace, by being under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Well, preacher, how does this growing in grace, how does this take place? Well, it's brought about by many things, but I'll tell you, by prayer and Bible reading, by faithfulness to the Lord and to his work and to your walk with him, amen. That'll help you a whole lot in your growth. I've got a whole bunch that I could say, but I'll say this. Sadly, there's far too many Christians that aren't growing. There's far too many Christians that sit in good, sound, doctrinal, Bible-preaching churches like this one that you haven't grown any more today than the day after you got saved. And I'm here to tell you, you're not going to be able to stand before God and say it's this man's fault. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, it's the brother's fault. You're going to have to stand before God. There's a day of judgment coming when you're going to stand and give an account for the things you've done and the things you have not done. And there's not going to be no more time to start playing the blame game and on everybody else. Amen. Hey, Christians, we need to start living a more consecrated life. Can I ask you here this evening, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a consecrated Christian? And what I mean by that, are you consecrated to the Lord Jesus? Or are you a man follower? It gets quiet. It's amazing. We preach about other institutes and other places about their applause of man. Now, this man's a great man of God, and I hold him up high. I highly respect him. I love him with all my heart. I go to fight for him. But it's time that, listen, we start doing what we do because of the Lord who saved us. Amen. Quit talking about, well, what happens if he goes and what happens if this? Listen. The church is going to carry on as long as Jesus tarries, amen. Amen. The gates of hell, the Bible says, shall not prevail against it. Amen. Number two, we need a closer walk with Jesus. For many churches and many church members, the only time that folks get in the Word of God, hear the Word of God, or read the Word of God is on Sunday morning or Sunday night or occasionally Wednesday night when they come. And I know you're here and you're the faithful crowd, but I'm here to tell you, listen, sometimes the people that are in church the most are the ones that get the coldest and the hardest of the things of God because we just become comfortable with it. We just become conformed. And we grow cold. We grow stagnant. We need a closer walk with God. Can I tell you, listen, in Paul's day, it was important that the Christians, that those that were saved, that they lived a life that, listen, that others around them took notice of. Why? Because that's the only thing, a consecrated life, a godly life, is the only thing that's going to make a difference in the lost world. We can't live like the world and then all of a sudden go and try to live godly as we present the gospel to somebody. Listen, we've got to be instant in season, out of season, amen. We can't just be holy when we walk in church and then live unholy and wicked when we leave the church. But I'll tell you, the power to influence others for Christ, and by the way, I'm not for this lifestyle evangelism. I believe that we ought to open our mouths and take the word of God and preach the word of God. But can I tell you, our lifestyles will preach. The way we live will preach. The power to influence others for Christ comes from spending time with Christ in His Word and in prayer. Now, here's something. I've got to hurry. You listen fast, and I'll preach fast. It's amazing. We know, everyone under the sound of my voice knows that God answers prayer. Preacher, how do we know that? By personal testimony, by personal experience, by the Word of God. You can't read the Word of God without reading of answered prayer. I mean, I can take you to the Old Testament, and I just love reading stories in the Old Testament about how God came through over and over and over and over and over and over again for His people. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the same God that came through for Moses and for Abraham and for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and for Daniel is the same God that's come through for me time and time and time again. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's power when we get in the Word of God, when we get on our face before God. We know He answers prayer, but here's the thing. So many times we know that, but we spend so little time doing that. God's been burdening my heart about prayer. I've been preaching a lot on Sunday nights in our church about prayer. And I guess a lot of it's because I've needed, amen. God's preached to me as I've been preparing. And I've seen God bless as a result of it. God's burdened my heart about being specific in prayer. We started praying more specifically. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. And so when it comes to ministry and our family, I've quit throwing out blanket prayers and I've started getting real specific with God. And God's answering prayers. I've got three boys that are depending on my God to come through for daddy so that they see that my God is real, so that they see that God that saved them is real. Amen. I'll hurry and say this, a testimony of what God's doing in our church. Recently, the end of December, beginning of December, we had our missions conference. Our missions goal for 2013 was $23,000. We started with 30 people. We're averaging 100 people right now. Our missions, when it came in at the end of the month, we had $27,000 that came in, plus an additional $7,000 that was given to a specific ministry to buy Bibles to send to Kenya. So missions conference come, we have our faith promise, and I'm thinking, preacher, I can do the math and I figure out what we got to have, and I'm praying, Lord, do this. And I found out when you start praying, God will always show you He's bigger than what you are. He's bigger than what your need is. He's bigger than your desire. I thought we needed about $30,000 to take on the new missionaries. We started praying. Sunday night, the last total came in. It was over $41,000. Church been in existence just a year and 8 months, and God's doing that. I challenged our church after that. I said, people, I said, God answered prayer. God honors prayer. We need to become a people of prayer. If we're going to do anything for God in this godless world we live in, we need the power of God to rest upon your preacher. We need the power of God to rest upon you and upon your family and upon our church. And I challenge our people, we need some more laborers. We need bus workers. We need Sunday school teachers. We need choir. I mean, we need everything. And so I said, church, this is what I'm asking you to do. Pray specifically, God to give us 4 new families by April. In the first 3 months of the year, we're going to ask God to give us 4 new families. Some of the people looked at me like I was just a young preacher, and I'm just a little out there in left field, but you know, we'll agree with you, preacher, but we really don't think it's going to happen. Can I tell you what happened the very first Sunday of the new year, Brother Bradley? 2 families walked the aisle and joined the church. Last Sunday, a family, a single mother, 2 teenage daughters, walked the aisle and said, we want to get in. We want to be a part of what God's doing. Now, what I failed to tell you is on every night, we gather on our altar, which is our couch, and we put the boys, tell them get on their knees. We're going to pray, and we take prayer requests, and I make sure that I share with them. Now, there's some needs we have as a family. Let's pray specifically for them. But there's some needs in our church. Let's pray specific. And so James, our oldest, and Hayden, our middle one. Andrew don't have a clue. He just thinks after 30 seconds, it's time to open open his eyes, see what everybody else is doing. But they've been praying specifically. Now that Sunday night, first Sunday of the month, Brother Bradley, after two families joined the church, we've been praying for, you know, I thought, you know, about end of March, we'd finally get them. Well, God gave us some the first week, amen. Well, we got on our knees that night and I said, boys, I said, can y'all, did y'all notice any answered prayer? By the way, we were praying souls would get saved. A young teenage boy we've been bringing to church, he walked the aisle in tears, got saved, amen. Brought his family last week, got baptized. But make a long story short, I said, has God answered any prayer? Hayden says, yes, sir, Daddy. Daddy, I prayed people get saved. And Seth, he got saved, Daddy. I said, that's right, that's an answered prayer. James said, Dad, we've been praying for four families and the first Sunday, God gave us two this morning. I said, boys, I want you to see something. I said, when we pray, God hears our prayer and he honors our prayer and he'll answer our prayer when it's according to his will, amen. Hey, and so I said, this is good, Dr. Carter. I said, hey, so how many more do we need to pray for? So Hayden's 6 years old. He gets out his fingers. He's his first grade, learn how to count. He says, well, four, and you take away two. I said, son, put your fingers away. I said, I think God would be honored if we just keep praying for four more. And that's why we're praying, amen. Hey, I'm praying God give us eight by the end of the quarter, amen. And I believe he's going to. But you see, God answers prayer. And you know, I mean, I remember just a few years ago when we prayed to hit 4,000 on anniversary Sunday and how God gave us a couple hundred over 4,000. I remember the ketchup offering, amen, the ketchup bottle and all that. I mean, God answers prayer, people, amen. Hey, we need to tap into the power source and keep on praying and believing God to do great things, amen. I've got to move on. I could say a whole lot more about that. But let me say this, the Word of God's important. We know according to Hebrews 4 and verse 12, you know this, sitting under Pastor Carter and Brother Stephen, the Word of God is quick. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know why public and the society wants the Bible out of society? I'll tell you why. Because they know that there's power there. They know that the Bible condemns their wicked lifestyle they live in, and it has the power to change it. You know why the devil wants saints to quit praying? Because he knows that when they get on their face before God, that there's power in prayer. Church, don't quit praying. If you haven't signed up, hey, young people, young preachers, go sign up and get on your face for 4 hours at a time for God. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you'll text your girlfriend for 4 hours. Why don't you talk to God for 4 hours? Amen. It's time we got a hold of God again. Amen. Number three, I'm going to hurry. I'm going to skip a bunch. We need a renewed love for the church. Not a renewed love for Brother Stephen and Pastor Carter. I know that you love them. I know you love both of them. But we need a renewed love for the church. You see, you know what was important to the Lord Jesus? The church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that he loved it and gave himself for it, amen. He loves the church. And can I tell you, whatever he loves and whatever's close and dear to his heart ought to be close and near and dear to our heart, the church. It's time, listen, I challenge you tonight. I challenge you to get on your face before God and say, God, hey, God, break up this stony heart. Hey, God, break up this cold heart, and God, set my soul afire again for the church. Some of you need to listen. Some of you, you've got children that other places tonight instead of being in church. You ought to get on your face before God and determine that my family's going to be in the house of God because it's important to God. He gave himself for it, and I'm going to have my children in church. Amen. Hey, don't worry about what your neighbor does and what they've done and who left and who didn't leave. If you're serving for them, you're not a consecrated Christian to the Lord, but you're just serving everyone else. Determine what you do, you're going to do because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Determine what you do in the next 4 days in prayer, that you're going to do it not for Dr. Carter because he asked you, but because you believe there's a God in heaven who hears and honors and answers prayer, and you're going to get a hold of them. Hey, maybe some of y'all need to grab your boys and your girls and your grandchildren and get on your face with them and say, we're going to pray. We're going to pray about this, and when it's all said and done, we're going to sit down and look back at how God's answered our prayer. And I'll make you a promise, he'll answer your prayer. You start praying that way. The church is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. I heard about a story. I heard about a man that was deaf and he was half blind. He could barely see to walk, couldn't hear a lick. But he was a member of a good Baptist church. Church didn't have no deaf ministry, nobody to sign for him. He couldn't hear the piano, he couldn't hear the specials, he couldn't hear the preacher. He couldn't hardly see when the ushers come by and pass the offering plate, but he was faithful. I mean, if they had a prayer meeting on Friday night, all night he went. He couldn't hear nobody else pray, but he was there. One day on his way to church one Sunday morning, another old guy that was deaf, he starts signing to him. He says, hey, he was a scoffer and a mocker. He says, what in the world are you doing? You go down there to that church every time the doors are open. He said, and you're deaf. You can't hear the preacher. You can't hear the music. You can't hear nothing. You're half blind. You can't see. Why in the world do you waste your time? And the deaf man replied this way. He said, I just want everybody to know whose side I'm on. Amen. Hey, if you're not going to go to church for any other reason, just go because you want others to know what side you're on. Amen. I hope there's a lot more reasons to go, but listen, if nothing else, go for that reason. Number four, I'm done. We need to remember, hey, and this is important, we need to remember that Lord Jesus is coming. I know we hear this from Pastor Carter all the time. I turn on the internet and I watch old messages by him and Brother Stephen. I hear him preach about the second coming of Christ. I heard my dad preach about the second coming of Christ. I preach about the second coming of Christ, but I'm here to tell you, he's coming, amen. And when he comes, listen, what greater thing it would be than for him to come on a Sunday or a Wednesday when God's people are gathered in God's house, serving God and worshiping God and praising God and that trump of God to sound. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for you to be down there at the golf course on Sunday when the Lord come? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if instead of going soul winning, you went bowling? Well, preacher, it's all about that service and that pharisaical stuff. No, no, no. It's all about serving Jesus stuff. That's what I'm preaching about. Listen, we need to remember that Jesus is going to come again. Let me say this. We should be living a more consecrated life. We should be walking closer to Jesus than ever before. Why? Because his coming is closer than it's ever been before. Older folks, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but you saints that are up in age and you're worn, can I tell you, listen, there's not just a senior pastor right there, and there's not a pastor back here that needs you, but can I tell you, there's young preachers like me. I think about Brother Hartwig. You here tonight, Brother Hartwig? That dear man of God. When we lived here, I'd walk by him. Not even see him. He'd be around the corner and he'd say, hey, brother. He said, I want to let you know. I called your name to God this morning. Amen. And he'd say, and James and Hayden, I can't even remember their names, but Brother Hartwig remembers them. He said, I prayed for them boys this morning. Can I tell you, there's a young preacher that don't even live in Florida anymore that needs you. There's some young kids that sit out in junior church that need you. There's some bus kids that some people may not even like that need you. Don't give up and don't quit. Listen, we need to be consecrated. We need to be in prayer and in the Word of God. We need to be closer to the Lord. We need to fall in love with His church.